Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 12 of my podcast, the dramatic reading of R.A. Salvatore's The Legend of Drizzt series, starting with book one, of course, Homeland, which was, again, originally book one of the Dark Elf trilogy, detailing where Drizzt Do'Urden, one of the primary heroes of R.A. Salvatore's Forgotten Realms series, and when we last left off with our intrepid hero, he was confronting Massage and telling him that Guinevere does not belong to him, even though Massage owns the figurine of wondrous power, which is in the world of Dungeons and Dragons, what the magical item that is Guinevere is referred to. But that Guinevere is its own entity, her own being, and has set her free. He then decided to fight with Massage to free her. But then he was confronted by Alton DeVere as well, who was, of course, the lone survivor of House DeVere, that the former house that House Do'Urden had destroyed to gain ranking within the city. They had the Alton and Massage, believing they have Drizzt trapped and within their power, try to continue their assassination. And I had to leave off, unfortunately, because we ran out of time at the end of last chapter, or last episode. So we are starting in the middle of chapter 28. And this episode, we will finish the book. I shall now continue. Alton brought the wand to bear on this new nemesis in time and released a mighty bolt, scorching Guinevere's chest. Greater strength than a single bolt, though, would be needed to deter the ferocious panther. Stunned but still fighting, Guinevere slammed into the faceless wizard, dropping him off the back side of the stalagmite mound. The lightning bolt's flash stunned Drizzt as well, but he continued to pursue Massage and could only hope that Guinevere had survived. He rushed around the base of the other stalagmite mound and came face to face with Massage. Once again in the act of spellcasting, Drizzt didn't slow. He ducked his head and barreled into his opponent, his scimitars leading the way. He slipped right through his opponent, right through the image of his opponent. Drizzt crashed heavily into the stone and rolled aside, trying to escape the magical attack he knew was coming. This time, Massage, standing fully 30 feet behind the projection of his image, was taking no chances with a miss. He launched a volley of magical missiles of energy that veered unerringly to intercept the dodging fighter. They slammed into Drizzt, jolting him, bruising him under his skin. But Drizzt was able to shake away the numbing pain and regain his footing. He knew where the real Massage was standing now and had no intention of letting the trickster out of sight again. A dagger in his hand, Massage watched Drizzt's stalking approach. Drizzt didn't understand. Why wasn't the wizard preparing another spell? The fall had reopened the wound in Drizzt's shoulder, and the magical bolts had torn his side and leg. The wounds were not serious, though, and Massage had no chance against him in physical combat. The wizard stood before him, unconcerned, dagger drawn and a wicked smile on his face. Face down on the hard stone, Alton felt the warmth of his own blood running freely between the melted holes that were his eyes. The cat was higher up on the side of the mound, not yet fully recovered from the lightning bolt. Alton forced himself up and raised his wand for a second strike, but the wand had snapped in half. Frantically, Alton recovered the other piece and held it up before his disbelieving eyes. Guinevere was coming again, but Alton didn't notice. The glowing ends of the wand, a power building within the magical stick, enthralled him. "You cannot do that," Alton whispered in protest. Guinevere leaped just as the broken wand exploded. A ball of fire roared up into Menzel Brandon's night. Chunks of rubble rocketed off the great cavern's eastern wall and ceiling, and both Drizzt and Massage were knocked from their feet. "Now Guinevere belongs to no one," Massage sneered, tossing the figurine to the ground. "No, De Vere remains to claim vengeance on House Dohun," Drizzt growled back, his anger holding off his despair. Massage became the focus of that anger, and the wizard's mocking laughter led Drizzt toward him in a furious rush. Just as Drizzt got in range, Massage snapped his fingers and was gone. "Invisible!" Drizzt roared, slicing futilely at the empty air before him. His exertions took the edge from the blind rage, and he realized that Massage was no longer in front of him. How foolish he must seem to the wizard. How vulnerable! Drizzt crouched to listen. He sensed a distant chanting from up above on the cavern wall. Drizzt's instincts told him to dive to the side, but his new understanding of wizards told him that Massage would anticipate such a move. Drizzt feigned to the left and heard the climactic words of the building spell. As the lightning blast thundered harmlessly to the side, Drizzt sprinted straight ahead, hoping his vision would return in time for him to get to the wizard. "Damn you!" Massage cried, understanding the feint as soon as he had errantly fired. Rage became terror in the next instant as Massage caught sight of Drizzt sprinting across the stone, leaping the rubble and crossing the sides of the mounds with all the grace of a hunting cat. Massage fumbled in his pockets for the components to his next spell. He had to be quick. He was fully 20 feet from the cavern floor, perched on a narrow ledge. But Drizzt was moving fast, impossibly fast. The ground beneath him did not register in Drizzt's conscious thoughts. The cavern wall would have seemed unclimbable to him in a more rational state, but now he gave it not a care. Guinevere was lost to him. Guinevere was gone. That wicked wizard on the ledge, that embodiment of demonic evil, had caused it. Drizzt sprang to the wall, found one hand free, he must have discarded one scimitar, and caught a tenuous hold. It wasn't enough for a rational drow, but Drizzt's mind ignored the protests of the muscles in his straining fingers. He had only 10 feet to go. Another volley of energy bolts thudded into Drizzt, hammering the top of his head in rapid succession. "How many spares remain, wizard?" he heard himself defiantly cry as he ignored the pain. Massage fell back when Drizzt looked up at him. When the burning light of those lavender orbs fell upon him like a pronouncement of doom, he had seen Drizzt in battle many times, and the sight of the fighting young warrior had haunted him through all the planning of this assassination. But Massage had never seen Drizzt enraged before. If he had, he never would have agreed to try to kill Drizzt. If he had, he would have told Matron Senefe to go sit on a stalagmite. What spell was next? What spell could slow the monster that was Drizzt Warden? A hand glowing with the heat of anger grabbed the lip of the ledge. Massage stomped on it with the heel of his boot. The fingers were broken. The wizard knew that the fingers were broken. But Drizzt, impossibly, was up beside him, and the blade of a scimitar was through the wizard's ribs. "Your fingers are broken!" the dying mage gasped in protest. Drizzt looked down at his hand and realized the pain for the first time. "Perhaps," he said absently, "but they will heal." Drizzt, limping, found the other scimitar and cautiously picked his way over the rubble, one of the mounds. Fighting the fear within his broken heart, he forced himself to peer over the crest at the destruction. The back side of the mound glowed eerily in the residual heat, a beacon for the awakening city. So much for stealth. Pieces of Alton de Vere lay scattered at the bottom, around the wizard's smoldering robes. "Have you found peace, faceless one?" Drizzt whispered, exhaling the last of his anger. He remembered the assault Alton had launched against him those years ago in the academy. The faceless master of Massage had explained it away as a test for a budding warrior. "How long have you carried your fate, your hate?" Drizzt muttered at the blasted bits of corpse. But Alton de Vere was not his concern now. He scanned the rest of the rubble, looking for some clue to Guinevere's fate, not certain how a magical creature would fare in such a disaster. Not a sign of the cat remained. Nothing that would even hint that Guinevere had even been there. Drizzt consciously reminded himself that there was no hope, but the anxious spring in his steps mocked his stern visage. He rushed back down the mountain around the other stalagmite where Massage and he had been when the wand exploded. He spotted the onyx figurine immediately. He lifted it gently in his hands. It was warm, as though it, too, had been caught in the blast, and Drizzt could sense that its magic had diminished. Drizzt wanted to call the cat then, but he didn't care, knowing that the travel between the plains heavily taxed Guinevere. If the cat had been injured, Drizzt figured that it would be better to give it some time to recuperate. "Oh, Guinevere," he moaned, "my friend, my brave friend." He dropped the figurine into his pocket. He could only hope that Guinevere had survived. Chapter 29. Alone. Drizzt walked back around the stalagmite, back to the body of Massage Hunet. He had no choice but to kill his adversary. Massage had drawn the battle lines. That fact did little to dispel the guilt in Drizzt as he looked upon the corpse. He had killed another drow, had taken the life of one of his own people. Was he trapped as Zaknafian had been trapped for so very many years, in a cycle of violence that would know no end? "Again," Drizzt vowed to the corpse, "never again will I kill a drow elf." He turned away, disgusted, and knew as soon as he looked back to the silent, sinister mounds of the vast drow city that he would not survive long in Menzoberranzan, if he held to that promise. A thousand possibilities whirled in Drizzt's mind as he made his way through the winding ways of Menzoberranzan. He pushed the thoughts aside, stopped them from dulling his alertness. The light was general now in Narbondo. The drow day was beginning, and activity had started from every corner of the city. In the world of the surface dwellers, the day was safer than next time, when light exposed assassins. In Menzoberranzan's eternal darkness, the daytime of the Dark Elves was even more dangerous than the night. Drizzt picked his way carefully, rolling wide from the mushroom fence of the noblest houses wherein lay House Hunet. He encountered no more adversaries and made the safety of the Duwarden compound a short time later. He rushed to the gate, and by the surprised soldiers, without a word of explanation, shoved aside the guards below the balcony. The house was strangely quiet. Drizzt would have expected them all to be up and about with battle imminent. He gave the eerie stillness no more thought, and he cut a straight line to the training gym and Zaknafian's private quarters. Drizzt paused outside the gym's stone door, his hand tightly clenched on the handle of the portal. What would he propose to his father? That they leave? He and Zaknafian on the perilous trails of the Underdark, fighting when they must and escaping the burdensome guilt of their existence under drow rule? Drizzt liked the thought. But he wasn't so certain now, standing before the door, that he could convince Zack to follow such a course. Zack could have left before at any time during the centuries of his life, but when Drizzt had asked him why he had remained, the heat had drained from the weapon master's face. Were they indeed trapped in the life offered to them by Matron Malice and her evil cohorts? Drizzt grimaced away the worries, no sense in arguing to himself with Zack only a few steps away. The training gym was as quiet as the rest of the house. Too quiet. Drizzt hadn't expected Zack to be there, but something more than his father was absent. The father's presence, too, was gone. Drizzt knew that something was wrong, and each step he took toward Zack's private door quickened until he was in full flight. He burst in without a knock, not surprised to find the bed empty. "Malice must have sent him out in search of me," Drizzt reasoned. "Damn, have I caused him trouble?" He turned to leave, but something caught his eye and held him in the room. Zack's sword belt. Never would the weapon master have left his room, not even for functions within the safety of House Duwarden, without his swords. "Your weapon is your most trusted companion," Zack had told Drizzt a thousand times. "Keep it ever at your side." House Hunet? doctors whispered, wondering if the rival house had magically attacked in the night while he was out battling Alton and Massage. The compound, though, was serene. Surely the soldiers would have known if anything like that had occurred. Driss picked up the belt for inspection. No blood. The clasp neatly unbuckled. No enemy had torn this from Zack. The weapon master's pouch lay beside it, also intact. What then? Driss asked aloud. He replaced the sword belt beside the bed, but slung the pouch across his neck and turned, not knowing where he should go next. He had to see about the rest of the family. He realized before he had even stepped through the door. Perhaps then this riddle about Zack would become more clear. Dread grew out of that thought as Drizzt headed down the long and decorated corridor to the chapel anteroom. Had Malice or any of them brought Zack to harm? For what purpose? The notion seemed illogical to Drizzt, but it nagged him every step, as if some sixth sense were warning him. There still was no sign of anyone. The anteroom's ornate doors swung in, magically and silently, even as Drizzt raised his hand to knock on them. He saw the matron mother first, sitting smugly on her throne at the rear of the room, her smile inviting. Driz's discomfort did not diminish when he entered. The whole family was there, Brisa, Vierno, and Maya, to the sides of their mother, Risen and Dinan unobtrusively standing beside the left wall. The whole family, except for Zack. Matron Malice studied her son carefully, noting his many wounds. "I instructed you not to leave the house," she said to Drizzt, but she was not scolding him. "Where did your travels take you?" "Where is Zaknathian?" Drizzt asked in reply. "Answer the matron mother!" Brisa yelled at him, her snake whip prominently displayed on her belt. Drizzt glared at her, and she recoiled, feeling the same bitter chill that Zaknathian had cast over her earlier in the night. "I instructed you not to leave the house," Malice said again, still holding calm. "Why did you disobey me?"
"I had matters to attend," Drizzt replied. "Urgent matters. I do not wish to bother you or with them."
"War is upon us, my son," Matron Malice explained. "You are vulnerable out in the city by yourself. House Dorden cannot afford to lose you now."
"My business had to be handled alone," Drizzt answered.
"Is it completed?"
"It is."
"Then I trust you will not disobey me again."
The words came calm and even, but Drizzt understood at once the severity of the threat behind them.
"To other matters, then," Malice went on.
"Where is Zaknathian?"
Drizzt dared to ask. Mumbled some curse under her breath and pulled the whip from her belt. Matron Malice threw out an outstretched hand in her direction to stay her. They needed tact, not brutality, to bring Drizzt under control at this critical time. There would be ample opportunities for punishment after House Hunet was properly defeated.
"Concern yourself not with the fate of the Weapon Master," Malice replied. "He works for the good of House Dorne, even as we speak, on a personal mission."
Drizzt didn't believe a word of it. Zack would never have left without his weapons. The truth hovered above Drizzt's thoughts, but he wouldn't let it in.
"Our concern is House Hunet," Malice went on, addressing them all. "The war's first strikes may fall this day."
"The first strikes already have fallen," Drizzt interrupted. All eyes came back to him, to his wounds. He wanted to continue the discussion about Zack, but he knew that he would only get himself and Zack, if Zack was still alive, into further trouble. Perhaps the conversation would bring him more clues.
"You have seen battle?" Malice asked.
"You know the faceless one?" Drizzt asked.
"Master of the Academy," Dinan answered. "Associere, we have dealt with him often." "He has been of use to us in the past," said Malice, "but no more, I believe. He is a Hunet, Gelrus Hunet."
"No," Drizzt replied. "Once he may have been, but Alton de Vere is his name."
"He was his name."
"The link!" Dinan growled, suddenly comprehending. "Gelrus was to kill Alton on the night of House de Vere's fall."
"It would seem that Alton de Vere proved the stronger," mused Malice, and all became clear to her. "Imagine Sinethe Hornet accepted him, used him to her gain,"
she explained to her family. She looked back to Drizzt.
"You battled with him?"
"He is dead,"
Drizzt answered. Major Malice cackled with delight. One less wizard to deal with, Brisa remarked, replacing the whip on her belt. Two, Drizzt corrected, but there was no boasting in his voice. He was not proud of his actions. Massage Hunet is no more.
My son, Major Malice cried, you have brought us a great edge in this war.
She glanced all about her family, infecting them, except Drizzt, with her elation.
House Hunet may not even choose to strike us now, knowing his disadvantage. We will not let them get away. We will destroy them this day and become the eighth house of Menzel Branson. Woe to the enemies of Derm and Nashez Bernum. We must move at once, my family, Malice reasoned, her hands rubbing over each other in excitement. We cannot wait for an attack. We must take the offensive. Alton de Vere is gone now. The link that justifies this war is no more. Surely the ruling council knew of Hunet's intentions, and with both the wizards dead and the element of surprise lost, Matron Senefe will move quickly to stop the battle.
Drizzt's hand unconsciously slipped into Zack's pouch as the others joined Malice in her plotting.
Where is Zack?
Drizzt demanded again above the chorus. Silence dropped as quickly as the tumult had begun.
He is of no concern to you, my son, Malice said to him, still keeping her tact despite Drizzt's impudence. You are the weapon master of House Toon now. Loth has forgiven your insolence. You have no crimes weighing against you. Your career may begin anew to glorious heights.
Her words cut through Drizzt as surely as his own scimitars might.
You killed him,
he whispered aloud, the truth too awful to be contained in silent thought. The matron's face suddenly gleamed, hot with rage.
You killed him, she shot back at Drizzt. Your insolence demanded repayment to the Spider Queen.
Drizzt's tongue got all tangled up behind his teeth.
But you live,
Malice went on, relaxing again in her chair,
as the elven child lives.
Dinan was not the only one in the room to gasp audibly.
Yes, we know of your deception, Malice sneered. The Spider Queen always knew. She demanded restitution.
You sacrificed Sacnafian,
Drizzt breathed, hardly able to get the words out of his mouth.
You gave him to that damned Spider Queen.
I would watch how I spoke of the Queen Loth, Malice warned. Forget Sacnafian, he is not your concern. Look to your own life, my warrior son. All glories are offered to you, a station of honor.
Drizzt was indeed looking to his own life at that moment, at the proposed path that offered him a life of battle, a life of killing drow.
You have no options, Malice said to him, seeing his inward struggle. I offer you now your life. In exchange, you must do as I bid, as Zacnafian once did.
You kept your bargain with him, Drizzt spat sarcastically.
I did, Major Malice protested. Zacnafian went willingly to the altar for your sake.
Her words stung Drizzt for only a moment. He would not accept the guilt for Zacnafian's death. He had followed the only course he could on the surface against the elves and here in the evil city.
My offer is a good one, Malice said. I give it here before all of the family. Both of us will benefit from this agreement, Weapon Master.
A smile spread across Drizzt's face as he looked into the Matron Malice's cold eyes, a grin that Malice took as acceptance.
Weapon Master, Drizzt echoed, not likely.
Again, Malice misunderstood.
I have seen you in battle, she argued. Two wizards, you underestimate yourself.
Drizzt nearly laughed aloud at the irony of her words. She thought he would fail where Zacnafian had failed, would fall into her trap as the former weapon master had fallen, never to climb back out.
It is you who underestimate me, Malice, Drizzt said with threatening calm.
Matron,
demanded Brisa, but she held back, seeing that Drizzt and everyone else was ignoring her as the drama played out.
You asked me to preserve your evil designs, Drizzt continued, but he He knew, but didn't care, that all of them were nervously fingering weapons or preparing spells, were waiting for the proper moment to strike the blasphemous fool dead. Those childhood memories of the agony of snake whips reminded him of the punishment for his actions. Drizzt's fingers closed around a circular object, adding to his courage, though he could have continued in any case.
They are a lie, as our... No, your... Your people are a lie. Your skin is as dark as mine, Malice reminded him. You are a drow, though you have never learned what that means.
Oh, no, I do know what it means.
Then act by the rules, Matron Malice demanded.
Your rules, Driz growled back, but your rules are a damned lie as well. As great a lie as that filthy spider you claim as a deity.
Insolent slug! Brisa cried, raising her snake whip.
Drizzt struck first. He pulled the object, the tiny ceramic globe, from Zeknafian's pouch.
A true god damn you all! He cried as he slammed the ball to the stone floor.
He snapped his eyes shut as the pebble within the ball, enchanted by a powerful light emanating Dwarmer, exploded into the room and erupted into his kin's sensitive eyes.
And damn the spider queen as well!
Malice reeled backward, taking her great throne right over in a heavy crash of the hard stone. Cries of agony and rage came from every corner of the room as the sudden light bored into the stunned drow. Finally, Vienna managed to launch a countering spell and return the room to its customary gloom.
Get him!
Malice growled, still trying to shake off the heavy fall.
I want him dead!
The others had hardly recovered enough to heed her commands, and Drizzt was already out of the house. Carried on the silent winds of the astral plane, the call came. The entity of the panther stood up, ignoring its pains, and took note of the voice. A familiar, comforting voice. The cat was off then, running with all its heart and strength to answer the summons of its new master. A short while later, Drizzt crept out of the little tunnel, Guinevere at his side, and moved through the courtyard of the academy to look down upon Menzoberranzan for the last time.
"What is this place?" Drizzt asked the cat quietly. "That I call home. These are my people, by skin and by heritage, but I am no kin to them. They are lost and ever will be." "How many others are like me, I wonder?" Drizzt whispered, taking one final look. "Dim souls, as was Zeknafian. Poor Zack.
I do this for him, Guinevere. I leave as he could not. His life has been my lesson, a dark scroll etched by the heavy price exacted by Matron Malice's evil promises." "Goodbye, Zack," he cried, his voice rising in final defiance.
"My father, take heart as I do. That when we meet again in a life after this, it will surely not be in the hellfire our kin are doomed to endure."
Drizzt motioned the cat back into the tunnel, the entrance to the untamed Underdark. Watching the cat's easy movements, Drizzt realized again how fortunate he was to have found a companion of like spirit, a true friend. The way would not be easy for him and Guinevere beyond the guarded borders of Menzoberranzan. They would be unprotected and alone, though better off, by Drizzt's estimation, more than they ever could be amid the evilness of the drow. Drizzt stepped into the tunnel behind Guinevere and left Menzoberranzan behind. The End of The Legend of Drizzt, Book 1, Homeland, by R.A. Salvatore. Thank you, everyone, for sticking with me through this, and I hope you enjoyed everything. I hope you enjoyed my storytelling, the characters, the voices, everything that I have done. Again, this is my first, very, very first podcast.
I noticed that all the other podcasts were talking about different things, and there's 100 different podcasts all talking about movies or talking about comic books or talking about fantasy stories or talking about role-playing games or video games, all saying the same types of things generally, with just some by celebrities, some by everyday folks, some by people who just like to talk, myself included now. But I figured, I didn't see any. I had done searches. I didn't find a single one that was like a dramatic reading like I had done here. So I thought, let's try something different. Thank you for sticking through with me. I do intend on reading the entire series. Book one through to the most recent. I hope you all enjoy it enough and stick with me through the entire journey. From what I see, there's some 25, 26 different books now in the 30-plus years that R.A. Salvatore has been writing this character, Drizzt Do'Urden. Kind of as a reminder for you, the book did start, or the stories did start back in 1988 with The Crystal Shard, which was book one of the Icewind Dale trilogy. Books two and three of that series were Streams of Silver and The Halfling's Gem. Now, a little bit of a background for those of you who may not have noticed and might not remember from the beginning, but the Icewind Dale trilogy didn't focus just on Drizzt Do'Urden. And at that time, it wasn't called The Legend of Drizzt, but because the character of Drizzt Do'Urden was so intriguing, so interesting, so relative and relatable to so many different people, he very quickly stuck out and became a fan favorite throughout the entire world. Other friends of his that become his family, known as the Companions of Mithril Hall, were Brunor Battlehammer, Dwarven King, whose destiny was to bring back his ancestral home of Mithril Hall and lead his people back there to regain it after finding it again, which he left when he was a child. But now he's an old dwarf, by his own words. He had an adoptive daughter, a human daughter, named Caddy Bree, who was a spitfire of a young girl and grew up amongst the dwarves and had absorbed much of their taciturn attitude and looks on life. Then there was also one of their good friends, Regis, the halfling, who was a former thief, turned humble food taster and scrimshaw carver. And then they met, through the story, Wulfgar, the human barbarian, who was banished from his barbarian peoples that lived out on the plains of Icewind Dale. Icewind Dale being in icy tundra, like Greenland, northern Greenland even, in the northern parts of Faerun, which is what the Forgotten Realms is, which is the entire area storyline world that these stories take place in. Drizzt, as I said before, became very, very popular and after the Icewind Dale trilogy. And people were interested in seeing where he came from. Why this drow was accepted on the surface, became friends with a dwarf, not just surface dwellers, but a surface dwarf and humans who all hate drow, because it is known amongst all of the realms that the drow is an inherently evil race. And this is the way the storyline has been in Dungeons and Dragons for over 30 years, 40 years. So people were intrigued. They wanted to know more, and that's why he wrote the Dark Elf trilogy, talking about how he came about, left his home, former home in Menzoberranzan in the Underdark, which is a world of subterranean dwellers, and how he came to meet Brunor Battlehammer, who became his best friend, as well as Regis, Caddy Bree, and Wolfgar. And it wasn't until a couple years later when it was basically book 7, Legacy, which first printed in 1992, it looks like. First paperback edition was 1993. But I believe the first edition, All Rights Reserved for TSR, which was what Dungeons & Dragons was originally from, was TSR. So before it was bought by Wizards of the Coast and then bought by Hasbro. But it was in 1993 that The Legacy had come out in paperback. And became one of the first books of R.A. Salvatore's on the New York Times bestsellers list. Since then, even up to recent day, there's been more books of R.A. Salvatore's Legend of Drizzt series, now called the Legend of Drizzt series as before, written in various trilogies, certain single stories all wrapped up within themselves, but still falling in line with each other. Ever since The Legacy, all of his books featuring this character, Legend of Drizzt, had become on the New York Times bestsellers list and became widely known across the country, across the world. It's a very intriguing character. He's one of my favorite characters, one of my favorite stories, because as a kid, I always had these issues and thoughts and feelings of trying to overcome, being alone, not having very many friends, being a fat kid and all that sort of thing. And these stories really, really hit home with me of a lone wolf, just trying to make a life, be happy, find friends and family and love and understanding from people so that he could survive. That's all he really wanted, was just to love and be loved. And goes along with the same type of stories as the Frankenstein monster, that same character archetype, a lone wolf just wanting to be accepted in one way or the other. Same thing with the Phantom of the Opera, another favorite story of mine, but more specifically I should say the musical of the musical version of the Phantom of the Opera, how he just wanted to be in love and have this woman love him, Christine. And then the music and everything. It's just amazing. That story's always been meaningful to me. The Beauty and the Beast, etc. So that's why I like this character so much. I wanted to share it with you. So that's why I decided to read this read this story for everybody. And like I said before, try something new. Try a podcast. It seems to be the thing that a lot of people are trying to do, but I wanted to do something different, something interesting, and I hope you all enjoy it. Now, there are some things I will come back again, starting with The Legend of Drizzt, Book 2, Exile, which will detail Drizzt's life in through the Underdark. and how he survived the Underdark. How it helped him to survive and make his way to the surface and meet the other heroes of the hall. Here is a brief blurb, one of the more recent ones, about R.A. Salvatore, if you're interested in hearing this. Well, you must be interested in hearing it because you're still listening to this podcast. Here we go. About the author, R.A. Salvatore was born in Massachusetts in 1959. His love affair with fantasy and with literature in general began during his sophomore year of college when he was given a copy of J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings as a Christmas gift. He promptly changed his major from computer science to journalism. He received a Bachelor of Science degree in communications in 1981, then returned for the degree he always cherished, the Bachelor of Arts in English. He began writing seriously in 1982, penning the manuscript that would become Echoes of the Fourth Magic. His first published novel was The Crystal Shard from TSR in 1988, and he is still best known as the creator of the Dark Elf Drizzt, one of fantasy's most beloved characters. And he is. It's definitely one of mine. Well, I hope you all enjoy this. I hope you all come back and listen to me giving a dramatic reading of all of the other stories of The Legend of Drizzt. I'm going to go as far as I dare, as far as I can. I'm glad you're all sticking with me with this. Please, though, message me on Facebook, message me, tweet at me. I want to hear what you all think. Tell me how you enjoy the stories, how you enjoy the character, what you think of my storytelling, of my voice acting, if you will. Let me know what you would like to hear more of, what you would like to hear less of. I'm sure I'm going to get some interesting tidbits from some of you out there. I know some of you that listen to it are some of my friends, and you are sarcastic as hell. And sometimes lovable jerks, too. But please, let me know. Again, my name is Chad Daigle. I am in Northville, Michigan. And I am an actor. I am a massage therapist. I am a husband. I am a friend. I am a gamer. Both video games and tabletop board games. I am a role-playing gamer. I am a LARPer. And I enjoy comic books. I'm a nerd, a geek, a nerd and a geek. And I really appreciate all of you listening in. Let me know who you are and tell me a little bit about yourselves if you wish. Let me know what you think about everything. My handle on Twitter is @crow_HVVH. That is @KROWE_HVVH. You can see on Facebook, it is simply Chad Daigle. I don't do Instagram a lot. I don't do many of the other things a lot, but you can catch me there. And if you're nice enough, maybe I'll let you have my email address and we can talk more that way too. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Keep listening. Have fun. Keep being nerdy.